बंदे रूप सनातन रघु जग श्री जीव गोपाल को।
There are some quick questions we will take. We are learning so much from Srimad Bhagavatam about leaders, but what is the future? Or we or some devotees will go to the government leaders to appeal the message of Srimad Bhagavatam to stop all the nonsense going in material world outside. Whether atrocities will reduce in future or increase as Kali Yuga is proceeding. In the coming 9,500 years are left now for the golden age. So Prabhupada says that it will go from now up to 5,000 years from now, it is going to go to the peak. And then it will be maintained for 10,000 years like that. Next 5,000 years. So total of 10,000 years is the golden age of Kali Yuga, where the golden avatar has appeared recently. Just 500 years ago has appeared. So we have come at the best time, I think. Because we are within the first 500 years. So now we have 9,500 years in which there are Chaitanya literatures which say that wherever you turn around, you will find people with tilak. Tilak, Kantimala, Dwati Kurta, Sari, people. This I found in Mira Road. Any of you saw in Mira Road temple near there? Because Bhaktivedanta Hospital is there, Mira Road temple is there, and all around there, a community of devotees there. Everywhere you turn around, children, men, women, everybody wearing tilak, Kantimala. Morning, evening, every time you see there. Nowadays, when I go to Bombay in the train also, I find many fellows sitting and chanting in train with bead bag. So it's already slowly happening, and it is going to happen in a very big way. So we have come at a very appropriate time. We can do our part and push off. Correct, no? Yeah. And also, the government aid and other things come later. First, we have to make our movement very sturdy by our practice. And then gradually, there are also government leaders who are recognizing ISKCON's contribution now. It will increase. There are some MLAs, MPs in India who are 16 rounders. Andhra Pradesh, we have one person like that. So there are favorable people also. Eventually, it can grow in a very big way. I would say that first, we have to practice ourselves very nicely in order to do such big, big things. I think sometimes opportunity is there, and there is some chances that I may do fasting on Ekadashi. But seeing majority taking prasad or not so much chanting, extra rounds, my yantu goes down. Sometimes mind cheats due to Kali Yuga. Everything has become impure. So during doing fasting also may give rise to bad health. We feel like that. So please guide how to be strong to fly my own plane and not to get affected by mind and not carried away by majority. So we have to take inspiration from those who are doing the right thing. Like here on Ekadashi day, I came here to chant. Many devotees were chanting here. Practically all day they were chanting, 64 rounds. So they have Tulasi in the center and sitting around, devotees are chanting. So if you go and see in the ashram some devotees sleeping, then you will get discouraged. If you come here and see this devotees chanting, therefore I also come here to chant. Instead of chanting in my own room, I will come here and chant with all the devotees. And we get encouragement from by looking at one another, determined to chant many, many rounds. Similarly, you will think about prasad only if you go to Prasadam Hall. Don't go that side. One inspirational point I will tell you. If you go to Madhvacharya's mat on Ekadashi day, you will find a big lock, this much size lock. Big lock. I asked once, what happened? I want to check whether is there any prasad. They said, prasad, what are you talking? Ekadashi day, this lock is never opened only. Nobody eats there. Everybody fasts. So let that lock be remembered by you in your mind. So they put a lock and they only drink hot water. Most of the Madhva followers, some of them take fruit juice on that day. And they just simply focus on spiritual life. But if you have pitta body, it's not very good. If you fast on Ekadashi day, it will get more complicated. So you have to check with your doctor whether you can fast. It's good for your body. And if it is all right for you to fast, you have that ability in the body, then it's very good. Fasting is especially done to avoid waste of time. so we can hear more, chant more. So many times in preaching we say nothing can move without sanction of Lord, not even a blade of grass. But I have not yet fully realized this. So sometimes these kind of sentences are in Prabhupada's books, but I have not yet realized, not yet fully get convinced. So how to get that conviction, and can we quote them till we get fully realized? Don't quote them. It is best to skip those points which you are not very convinced. Don't quote them in your lecture. There are so many other things you can tell them. You are not the body, you are the soul. You have a reincarnation. Whatever things you are convinced, speak them. If you are not convinced, don't speak. It won't have any effect on the people. And if people ask you questions, you will be more bewildered. So therefore, such things which we are not realized, we should not quote. Somebody says, Krishna and His holy name are non-different, one fellow said. Somebody said, how is it, Prabhuji? And this Prabhuji said, please don't ask difficult questions. It's better not quote. There is an explanation given in Harinam Chintamani to this statement. If you have read that, you heard it and you are deeply appreciative, then only you can quote such sentences. Otherwise, they will call you a parrot. Parroting speaker means just he copies and repeats without any realization, you see. On yesterday's night topic, how can we give Vedic system of ruling as an alternative to communism or capitalism as they came because of failure of Vedic system in system of king's rule? No, they didn't come because of failure of a system. System cannot fail, people fail. Just like, for example, Krishna conscious system of going back to Godhead. Can the system ever fail? It's called Rajavedya, Rajaguhyam, Pavitram, Idamuttamam, Pratyakshavagamam, Dharmiyam, Susukam Kartum. That can never fail. You and I can fail, system will not fail. So people who don't follow the system, you should blame those people, not the system itself. Self-preservation is also the duty of individual soul. Then why the bull do not seek shelter of king for his protection? Actually, already the bull is getting shelter from the king, because king is himself a righteous king and the bull is the dharma. He's getting, now the bull knows for sure that this Kali cannot do anything to me because king has come. But one point was, he wasn't pointing out finger to Kali. That's why we spent so much time understanding that point. Otherwise, he got the help of the king, surely. In life of devotee, how much astrology works for struggling sadhaka? When he don't have much faith or conviction on holy name of Krishna. I went through one class study for one devotee who is serious in Krishna consciousness but undergoing through a lot of spiritual difficulty and following principles of devotion service. I observed that his all planets are in very wrong positions. So he will suffer for some more years like that. So in such a case, when astrology can just guard you on how one should be careful and make us aware what may happen. But if we take Krishna consciousness seriously, can we avoid that future? And astrology is the science, it works well and perfect. But if we are pure devotees, then it may not work. Is my understanding correct? Okay. Regarding astrology, somebody may be curious to know, when one can go for astrology. Say, if a brahmachari is very confused about his ashram, whether I should continue as a brahmachari or should I go for married life, he is not very clear, he is a little bewildered, then one may, with the permission of your authority, superiors, you can take some guidance. Or in case somebody undergoes a deadly disease, doctors, all of them raise their hands. If all the doctor says that you are hopeless, your kidney has failed, or your heart is failing or something like that, then there is something called medical astrology also. There is a medical astrologer in Bangalore. He has 10,000 students. He is like a Maharishi, they call it. He is a Krishna Kumar Maharishi. So there are some people like that who have medical astrology, means they can see your astrology and say why your body is so sickly and how long will you live and whether is it worth for you and which method you should take. You should go to homeopathy or allopathy or Ayurveda. They will tell you all those things. So if your body is in such a crucial situation, then with the guidance of your authorities, you can take such a help. But for simply sitting in the temple thinking that, let me find out from astrology what will happen to me, let me find out how the next few years, out of idle curiosity, curiosity kills the cat, So the curiosity is not very good. Because if you are curious, then what happens? When you hear something in astrology, you will get very frightened. If you are weak-minded. Correct, no? Oh, this is going to happen, that's going to happen. So it's better not to go for astrology, honestly. Yes, if you become pure devotee, astrology doesn't work anymore. Krishna directly takes charge of you. And not only pure devotee, as you become purer and purer, the control of the grahas on you will be minimized. And the control of Krishna graha will increase on you. Krishna graha grahita atma, Prahlad says. It says, in Bhagavatam 1.17.19-20, it says, others, anya in the verse, not specifically Vaishnavas, for we do not know the actual cause, atma or daiva or karma or graha. Where did Vaishnavas come from? Actually, the others represents Vaishnava only. How Prabhupada says Vaishnavas in the purport? Because it says that the others consider Supreme Personality of Godhead as the cause. And who are the people who consider Supreme Lord as everything? Vaishnavas. Therefore, Prabhupada writes Vaishnavas there. Correct, no? So, therefore, we need Acharya to help us. Like the other day, you know, we were reading one section. As soon as there's a talk about Yudhishthira Maharaj enjoying the family life, the next verse says, Evam Griheshu Saktanam. Pramattanam tadihaya. And then Prabhupada explains the purport. This is not talking about Yudhishthira. This is about whom? Dhritarashtra. And immediately the subsequent verses are all preaching of Vidura to Dhritarashtra. So we may think that I know Sanskrit, but we'll be bewildered if we study Bhagavatam on our own. We need Acharya to help us. What is the story of Sage Vishwamitra had to live on the flesh of dog? I also don't know what the story is. But we know this fact. Prabhupada has quoted. Prabhupada, one thing with Prabhupada is he will never tell anything on his own. He will always, if you ask him, he will quote from some Purana. There must be some reference without which he will not put it in the Bhagavatam purport. Aren't bad news always really good? Because they truly purify, he's saying. What he's saying, if somebody gives you some bad goods, aren't bad goods always really good? Because they truly purify. No, the question is not whether bad goods purify you or not. The question is, as soon as bad goods come in our life, you know, we feel little pain, correct, no? We don't want, we try to get rid of it. That was the point we were discussing. So, slapping the postman and all, I told you. That's because we are unable to appreciate that it has come to purify me. You know, it's very easy for you to talk this philosophy as long as it doesn't come to you. When it comes in your life, immediately all the thoughts of purification will evaporate. You know, people, like one man was giving a lecture, you know, he said, agar aapke paas do car hota to ye car dusron ko de dena chahiye. Nahi bas chale. And the audience asked the question, agar hamare paas do gaay hota to, ho prashna mere paas mat poochho. Nahi bas chale. Then that fellow audience later on met him and asked him, aapne jawab kyon nahi diya mere prashna ka? Mere paas do gaay hai na, wo problem. He said, you understood, na? And then he said, lekin car ka udaharan diya aapne, car to nahi hai hamare paas. Sir, do gaay bacha hai. So he could not tell that. Because if you have two cows, you have to give one. He couldn't say that. Because then the audience would say, give one to me, I will take it now. Similarly, it may be easy to say that bad goods come for purification. We can be very good philosophers when problem comes in others' lives. In our life, when problem comes, we go berserk. Many part of India, Indian Shudras are not allowed to enter in temple, which creates disturbance in society. Any reason for this traditional rule? The reason is, the Shudras pass urine and they don't wash their legs. And the Shudras have a tendency to spit after eating tobacco or something. Everywhere. From bus also they spit from outside. You have seen that? So they do like this, are unclean in their behavior. And also Shudra Shudrani, what they were doing when Ajamila saw, that also you saw. So this type of improper behavior, Shudras, because Shudras don't have control senses. They eat, they drink, they break the regulative principles. So because of this, the Shudras qualities make them unfit for entering sanctified holy places where they are not supposed to spit or behave like that. So in the Vedic times, there were agraharams where the Brahmanas will live. There were separate places for dobis to live. separate places for other Shudras to live. Kshatriyas lived in separate places. So they had their own basti and all the people were alike in their swabhav, behavior. So the match was very good. Like all Sattvagana people in one place, all the Rajagana people in another place, like that. It was very good. But then for Shudras, their own temples are there. Like Jamnalal Bajaj and other many revolutionists, like even Gandhi built temples for Harijans, I told you. So there, even our Pejavar Math Swami has built some temples for the lesser class people who may be unclean. For them also temple is made and they are teaching them some good behavior of how not to be unclean. Even our ISKCON temples also, for you to enter into altar, you have to be a Brahman, correct, no? Not Brahman by birth, Brahman by qualification, correct, no? Why any of us cannot enter inside? Because there is a restriction. Therefore, the restriction was there in Vedic times. The idea is not to deprive them of bhakti. The idea is to preserve the sanctity. But they were given opportunity in other places. Thank you for giving us the facility to study Bhagavatam systematically. By my previous conditioning of academic study, I feel I am taking Vidyapitam classes for writing exams, recollecting shlokas, purports. Though we understand, this gives a push or anxiety for us to study. But how can we take this Vidyapitam course to imbibe lessons of Bhagavatam for personal application? We are talking only that. All these themes we are talking, 101% is personal application. Only your ears have to be attentive, that's all. I am experiencing like licking bottle of honey without relishing it directly. Give some practical steps. As chapters go ahead, we forget earlier lessons and chapters. One thing is, we may be physically present, mentally absent. Then you will feel like this. And also there is a possibility of connection with the speaker. Because certain speakers are very inspiring. You will feel a deep connection. And certain speakers, you know, may not fit your head. You may not be able to relish. Because everybody has different style of presenting. So if you are physically present and mentally absent, you don't gain much. Because mind is required for attention. Absorption, attention. Without mind, you won't be able to benefit much. So, Bhagavatam actually, it is said, Bhagavata padiya Bhagavata sthane. It is said, one has to actually hear Bhagavatam from a pure devotee. But the problem is, we don't have too many pure devotees on the planet. So, next to pure devotee, who whatever devotees are available, we make a kind of, what you call it, like a schedule, and we have Bhagavatam. But for this devotee, I will suggest you, identify at least one speaker in this entire world. Find out at least one speaker for whom you will be mad to hear from. If every one of you sitting here, you should have at least one Bhagavatam speaker for hearing whose lecture your ears are longing like a Chataka Pakshi. If you have at least one speaker like that in this world, you know, you will really make a progress. It can be anybody. It may be a spiritual master, spiritual masters, God brothers, or very exalted devotees. But if you say that, Prabhuji, whoever gives, it makes no difference to me. It's all the same for me. That means it's a serious problem. It's a very serious problem. Kuch farak nahi padta, Prabhuji. Wo bolte jaate hain apne duniya mein. Very dangerous it is. Then you are wasting your time here, actually. You are really, it's a colossal waste of time. See, sitting in the Bhagavatam also is purifying because of sound vibration. Like our Jnanivas Prabhu sits even in a Bengali class. Just for getting some purification. But the benefit is minimal. It is not much. But Bhagavatam should be heard with utmost attention. Like once Gaurangpur was asking me in Chopati, after Maharaj class I asked 3 questions. He was like, hey Radhisham, you are asking questions from all different parts of the class. How do you remember? He was asking. I said, actually when I hear, I deeply try to find out how this message is relevant to my life. And then I ask questions and I get golden answers. The kind of answers I get are extremely relevant to my life and valuable. And then I note down the points and while going, coming, walking, I absorb them, digest them. And then I look in the world around me and therefore I get some examples. Even in these classes, I tell you many, many examples, correct? Little examples. How I get? Whatever you hear from spiritual master, you should internalize it and you should look at the world with it. That's called Shastra Chakshu. And then we will be able to relate with our personal life. So for this devotee, I will suggest you, you should see this converting knowledge into realization. I have one file. I said I'll give it to Antadi Prabhu. I will give it to him. You can take it from him. How do we convert our knowledge into realization? There are some few steps. How knowledge to understanding, understanding to realization. There are some 5-6 steps to be followed. If you follow, you know, we will be able to take advantage. That was one sheet. Another sheet is about how to study Bhagavatam. There is one sheet. Also, yeah. When one becomes devotee of the Lord, gradually all the good qualities worthy of possession will develop. Many times we have seminars or classes to develop these particular qualities. So please resolve, just becoming devotee, all qualities will come, but still we have to develop them separately. Both. You do bhakti, and bhakti doesn't come very quick also. So after some years, some qualities are going to come. Slowly they will come. But before that, only those qualities are required for our functioning as a devotee. Say, for example, I say that after I become a pure devotee, I will have great humility, trinadapi shunichena. But right now, you know, I'm fighting with many people, for example. Is it good? So better that we at least learn some practical humility. Humility means how we should speak. We don't raise our tone. We fold the palms. You know, we bow down doing vanchakalpa, everything. And we don't retaliate. So few things you learn, you apply after hearing from CC and other places. And gradually humility, real humility will come after some years. Both we have to do. Now also you cultivate also and let it come from bhakti also. How to identify whether it is instrument of my karma and mistake or carelessness? When suffering is coming, no, suffering is coming means it may be mistake, due to which also you may suffer, due to carelessness also. That is also possible, quite possible. But whatever it is, the point is about how do we take the sufferings in our life. When sufferings come, okay, Krishna is the witness, is watching. He knows what is best. So we have to repeatedly tell ourselves, all of you repeat, God knows best.
God knows best.
This we have to remember. Krishna knows best. If this has to be internalized. So as soon as you are walking in the road, thak, you hit your leg, it starts bleeding. For a moment. Krishna knows best. You should remember this. I have hit my leg now, it's bleeding. And then you put a bandage in 5-10 minutes, and then you're limping like this and walking. Krishna knows best. Krishna knows. You keep walking. Then in the street you find terrible accident there. There's an accident. There are 100 people around. 4 or 5 people in car are jammed, and they are rushed to the hospital. You know, they are immediately carried. Their bodies are hands, legs broken, everything. 100 people around. And you think Krishna stopped me from reaching there? If I went there, I also would be one of them. I would have joined the accident. Correct, no? Instead, Krishna stopped me with a hit on the stone, and somebody put bandage. 10 minutes I got delayed. Very wonderful. Correct, no? So therefore we should remember this. Krishna knows best always. Sometimes we try to be sensitive to others, care, appreciate others and express love. But we expect some reciprocation from people. When we don't get it, it makes us feel disturbed and lonely. How to overcome this expectation from others? See, we all have expectations from others. Others should respect me. Others should appreciate me, encourage me. Others should say that I am wonderful. So, and also, what happens, this kind of expectations frustrate us. Because sometimes we want a special appreciation from a specific equal devotee. Juniors give you abundantly. You say, "Are tika, all are junior fellows. Chota mata, they don't even know who I am." But I want some equal devotee should say that, "No, Prabhu, you are really great." Like our Vishwamitra wanted from one person. Yeah, so many others appreciated him. He said, "This is not useful." That one fellow who thinks that, you know, I am not in par with him, he has to appreciate me. So if you have this kind of expectation, you will be most frustrated. Because that one person will never give you lifelong. Already he is giving many comments about you, already. You are trying to pull out something, you know. In fact, some devotees even tell, to other devotees, go and tell him what all I have done. You don't praise me, you go and tell him what I have done. And then they expect him, Prabhuji, aapne suna? Wo bhakta akar bola, aapko maine kya kya kar. And the other devotees still will say, ye kya badi baat hai. So, there are some people, no matter, sometimes you wonder, even if you behave like a pure devotee, still they will not be inspired by you. They will say, you are doing drama of a pure devotee, they will say. Correct, no? So, better don't have expectation from them. So, maintaining expectations from others causes frustration. And when they are unrealistic expectations, then the frustration also is very great frustration. Correct, no? But one good news for you. If you express care, affection, encouragement, kindness to others, that will come from somebody else, it will come to you. Because this is actually called as the life is a mirror principle. Life is a mirror means once you have shown affection, respect to somebody, it has to come from somebody else to you. It cannot go in vain. That much you can be assured. But don't expect that some ex-devotee only should give that to you. That is a wrong expectation. Is dharma on purely material plane, dharma of a kshatriya, purely on material plane, it then makes sense, Trivarga being condemned by Prahalad. Yeah, actually dharma, artha, kama and moksha, this is actually pravritti marga. Moksha is actually liberation, beyond that is prema, Krishna prema, you know. So dharma, artha, kama is condemnable for one, you know, has no understanding of Lord or devotion service. But there are also kings who do dharma, artha, kama, they would do to go through the family life. But they are also devotees also. But they will fulfill these duties because of being a part of the world. Like you find kings like Ambarisha and others. They may also do yajna. Bharat Maharaj did yajna. But while doing yajna, you know what Bharat thought? He would offer in the fire, Indraya Swaha Edam Namama. In his mind, he will think Indra to be the hand of Lord. Why? Because Indra is the presiding deity for our hand. Surya is the presiding deity for the eyes. And Ashwini Kumara is for the nose. And Digdevata is for the ears. Varuna for the tongue. Agni for the mouth. Indra for the hand. And Yama for the rectum. Like this. So for each, and Brahma for the genitals, Prajapati, Brahma. So in this way, whenever he offered Ahuti for one Devata, immediately he thought of the Lord's, the particular part of Lord's body. If he is offering to Ashwini Kumaras, he will think of the Lord's nose. If he is offering to Dig Devatas, he would remember the ears of the Lord. So he saw all the Devatas as part of Lord's body. Like that he saw. So this is the meaning of a devotee. A devotee also does yajna. But a devotee yajna is different from a Karmakandi fellow's yajna. You see? Do you mean that from the point of four regulative principles, is that four regs, or can't just tell people we have to follow it? I agree, but after that, when approach to others, still why people don't follow four regs? What is the missing link? Actually, you cannot just follow four regulative principles, you know, like a machine. You will need some inspiration, motivation, correctness, some support. So because we are all chanting Hare Krishna, following 4X is very easy. If somebody chants very attentively. And we also have knowledge about Jiva's connection with the Lord. Otherwise the 4X in and of themselves is not glorious. We have to give spiritual knowledge. The purpose of following 4X is to steady the mind, I told you. Once the mind is steady, what should we do with the mind? Focus on Supreme Lord. Otherwise what's the use of following 4X? In and of itself, maybe we can say the 4 regs make animal into a human, we can say. Animal-like person becomes a human-like person. But after becoming human, you have to become divine. For that you have to chant Hare Krishna, study Shastra, all that. Sometimes children bend the Krishna conscious philosophy for their selfish interest. For example, when parents scold them, they will say, anger will take you to hell. Is it because of Adiparichai? Please guide. Actually, it is wonderful that children are speaking such nice philosophy. You know? That means the child is really in a very nice devotee home. But one thing is, our juniors can also teach us some good lessons in our life. It is not that only our guru has to teach. Guru may teach, seniors may teach, equals may teach, juniors may also teach. So, in case sometimes we get such a response from younger ones, we can understand that maybe we need a modification in behavior. You know, like somebody... So we can take a note in our mind. So why we become angry? Because if somebody is exactly committing the mistake which we don't want them to commit, we get frustrated. Anger arises from internal frustration, you see. So, there are various ways to pacify our anger. One is to reduce our expectations from others. Another thing is to, immediately leave the scene. Either you tell them to leave the scene or you leave the scene from that place. Don't talk immediately. Start something else you do. And another thing is reduce your, dependence on others. You do most of the things yourself. And also reduce your attachments. Attachments cause anger also. For example, if somebody has a child, they want to make child a topper in the class, but the child is in the 15th rank or 20th rank. Well, parents get very frustrated. He is a very intelligent boy but doesn't study. So then you try to change a person. Changing other people is the most difficult thing. And the most painful thing also. So when you try to change them, you get frustrated. Everybody has their swabhava. Everybody has their independent free will. When we enter into some relationship, this is a problem. You are a mother, father, child. So there sometimes there certain attributes, behavior is intolerable for us. Actually, Krishna puts us in a situation where we can learn good qualities. Like humility, tolerance, respect for other jivas. And as we go to higher and higher age, we have become more and more elderly, we have to cultivate these qualities. Otherwise, we have to cut a sorry figure. Correct, no? Because otherwise, it will be very pathetic if we remain the same as we were 20 years ago, 30 years ago. Correct, no? So, personalities like Prabhupada, if you see, he would scold, but next moment it will evaporate from his mind. He never became consumed by anger. He will be angry in scolding one devotee here. Next moment he will be laughing, smiling, joking and continuing with his speech with other devotees. Therefore, people did not take Prabhupada's anger as something arising from passion. His anger is very superficial and it is actually service-oriented anger. If some service is not done properly, like Vrindavan temple was not completed in construction, Prabhupada was angry. But that anger was very short-lived anger. After that he was appreciating Surabhi Prabhu and telling so many other things like that. So therefore, like anger has, ocean has waves in the surface, but down deep you go, it is standstill. Like that, an advanced devotee may show external anger to serve a certain purpose. So we can say that he uses anger for serving a certain purpose, but he is not consumed by it. Just like you use the regulator to release some gas and cook sabji or some item in the kitchen. After it is done, you just close it. Similarly, anger may be utilized by an advanced devotee for serving a Krishna conscious purpose. And that is necessary also. Anger is not used at the right time. In fact, every Vaishnava has two sides. They may have a sweet side, they may have an angry side. For that matter, you can ask, you ask Gauranga Prabhu, some devotees like that who are associating very closely. You should ask the personal servants and associates of many gurus also. But their anger is very meaningful anger. When great personalities will give embrace also and they may give anger also, both. Many people who became Prabhupada's personal servants, they couldn't last for a long time. They lasted for 2 months, 3 months, then Prabhupada would tell them, this fellow will not fit you, change him. And why? Because pure devotees, their standards are very high and they are always Krishna conscious. To catch up with them is very challenging. With our lethargy, with our slow-mindedness and independent mentality, our eating habits, too much eating, too much sleeping, with all that we cannot serve such advanced devotees, you see. So many devotees got chastisement, but Prabhupada would chastise and forget. Because his purpose is served. He has scolded the person for the right thing, he has learnt the lesson. But because they don't maintain any vengeance in the heart, you see. No revengeful attitude. You know, 1996 May, July month, 23rd, in the night 8:30, in the same room, aapne kya bola mujhe? Are kya bola? 1998? Some people remember like that, you see. Thank you for teaching so many lessons, Prabhu. Okay, I wish to apply this. However, there is some kind of reluctance to do it. How to move ahead to put these teachings into application? Okay, I have one PPT on self-change. It's about 10-12 slides. So I will give it to Antardi Prabhu also. Okay, note down, self-change. So that self-change will teach you how to apply what we are learning. And there are three things to be changed: attitude, behavior, and thinking. So that explains about that. So you can see that. So now I wanted to complete these questions because you all are so sincerely sitting and hearing and learning. So I thought that the question should be answered also. Where were we? We were in. Yeah, we finished that maturity part. That previous we discussed thoroughly. Maturity to administer compassion and okay. We'll go to the 10th theme. Saving oneself from ill effects of wealth, or what should one do with earnings? This is 42. Okay. I will not devote much time on this because the purport itself is self-explanatory. Prabhupada says about how to make the ones, in the middle of the purport he says, one's accumulated wealth may be divided into three parts for distribution. 50% for the service of the Lord, 25% for the family members, and 25% for personal necessities. And then spending 50% for service of the Lord or propagation in society means by the way of Sankirtan Yajna, maximum display of human mercy. And then the Prabhupada goes on to say, everyone should be taught to sacrifice 50% of his accumulated gold for the Lord's service. Certainly austerity, cleanliness and mercy automatically ensue. And thus the last three legs of the personality of religion are automatically established. Since Prabhupada says, simply by donating money like this, liberally, 50%, you know, the three things, austerity, cleanliness, mercy are re-established, Prabhupada says. When there is sufficient austerity, cleanliness and mercy and truthfulness, naturally Mother Earth is completely satisfied and there is very little chance for Kali to infiltrate the structure of human society. Yeah. See, one question may come about this ISKCON society when Prabhupada started it. You know, how will the society be run? And how will the society be expanded? So therefore Prabhupada gives these things in the purport. According to Prabhupada, those who are working and earning, who are not able to physically contribute their body like the sadhus, sannyasis and brahmacharis, but those who are working in offices 12 hours a day, 10 hours a day, they are earning money, or business people also, those are doing business. So they can also be promoted to spiritual world by simply donating charity. Pranair, Arthair, Diya, Vacha, Visena. So first is said pran. Pran means you give up your social, civil identification. Give up everything, which means like brahmachari or like sannyasi. That is pranair. And next to that, arthair means those who are not brahmacharis or sannyasis, they should give artha, money. And that is placed next to pran. You can imagine how important artha is. Because except artha, people are ready to give many things. Money people are very attached to, because money is the means of getting sense gratification. So if they are cutting and giving money, they are giving away some sense gratification. Correct, no? Like I used to go to this Krishna Smaran Prabhu's camp, you know. So first once or twice when I went, I attended the camp for 2-3 days, and when I was about to leave, he had given me some 20,000 rupees. Why, Prabhu, you've given such a big money? You know, why we haven't done anything yet? You know, you're all sadhus. Eh? 4 or 5 sadhus, you have come. And grihasthas, we have to give charity. Eh? So then I told him, if you give such a big amount, I will not come. We are just coming for association. But next time again he gave 5,000 he gave. He said, all my students want to give. He gathered and he gave like this. So, and when he came to Pune here, so I put some money in the packet, some 3,000 rupees to give him in a packet, Prabhuji. He accepted the fruits, he accepted the prasadam box also. Then he asked me this packet, what is this packet? Then I told him, Prabhuji, that's a token of our appreciation, I told him. But what token it is, opened and saw. And he saw the money and he said, he kept it in my pocket. He said, no, I cannot take it. I said, no, Prabhuji, what? He said, no, you are all sadhus. How can a grihastha, I can take from a sadhu money? I said, okay, Prabhu, we are sadhus, but this is on behalf of the temple, I said. Nothing doing. He said, I will spend for my flight, I'll come and go. We cannot take money, we only have to give charity, he said. Recently, 1 month ago, I was in Juhu temple. In the morning, there was one devotee, powerful kirtan he did. His kirtan is there on YouTube also, very famous devotee. I'm not able to recollect his name. He has given me 2 CDs also, I have with me. In the morning he was singing Gaudiya Kirtan. Huh? Powerful Gaudiya Kirtan, Guru Puja time. Typical Narottama Das Thakur style of dancing and kirtan, which he did, the whole temple hall became vibrant in Juhu temple. After the kirtan was over, Ajamil Prabhu. Then I went with him to his room, congratulated him and said, Prabhu, you definitely have to come to Pune. And then he gave me his email. He write to me, currently he's in Toronto. He said, when I come to India, I'll keep in mind, I'll come to Pune. Thank you for your appreciation and all that, he said. Then I asked him, can you give me some, where can I get your kirtans? So I want to hear your kirtans. So he took me to his room and took out 2 CDs and gave me. So I thought, why should I accept CDs? I should give him some donation. He was a grihastha devotee. So I took out some 300, 400 rupees, gave him in the hand. And he's from Bengal originally. No, I also was pushing. I was trying to push him into his hand and he was pushing me back. Sadhu logon se paisa kaise hum lenge? Are brahman aap log? You are a brahman, you are a sadhu, how I can take money from you? He was so forceful. Generally when I push, I also equally push. When others, like when I go to other temples also, Revati Raman Prabhu and other temples, when I stay in the temple while going, I give some 500 rupees, 1,000 rupees to them. And if they don't accept, I tell them, no, it's for the service of the deities I'm giving. I'm not giving to you. I'm giving for the Lord. So go and give it to the Lord. Like that, I give it to them. But this person was almost impossible to, you know, push in their hands. Because when I looked at his eyes, I could see he was convinced deeply that actually you are a sadhu, you are a brahman, I should not take money from you. Rather, I should give you donation, he said. And also he said, when I come to Pune, I don't need any money. I will only do it as a seva. I will do it. And so some people are very principled people. You understand, no? Similarly, a brahmachari should control his senses. That is what we have joined ashram for. If you control the senses and mind, and we have to totally engage it in Guru and Krishna service. If a brahmachari is loose in controlling senses, he is simply a cheater. He becomes a cheater. Similarly, grihasthas have to give charity, which is very painful for anyone to give away the hard-earned money. Because the expenditure appears like, no matter how much money you earn, it is not enough in this world. Money keeps on getting spent. So, you know, Srivas Thakur, in his house, he arranged a night kirtan for Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And it was every day for more than a year, he was arranging. You can ask any grihastha would like to arrange a program of whole night kirtan in their house for a year long. What a encroachment on their privacy. Correct, no? But Srivas Thakur and Malini, they were ready. So that's why their house is called Rasasthali. It is equivalent to Rasasthali in Vrindavan, where Krishna dances with Radharani and Gopis. Similarly, in Navadvip, Shiva's Angan, that is non-different from Rasasthali in Vrindavan. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu found that place a suitable place to exhibit his ecstasies in a closed-door situation. And that too only with his own intimate devotees, singing, dancing, whole night crying out for Krishna. He showed drama of Rukmini there in the same place. So many, many pastimes happened in Shiva Sangan like that. One time Shiva's son had passed away, small boy. All the ladies were crying inside. And Shiva Thakur was distracted by it. He went inside and found out that the boy has passed away. He told the ladies, nobody should cry. Nobody should make sound. He said, Mahaprabhu's ecstasy should not be hampered. So then all the ladies kept quiet. Then he came back and joined in dancing. Another after 2-3 hours, Mahaprabhu stopped and asked, has something inauspicious happened here? I am not feeling my ecstasy. And Shiva Thakur said, my dear Lord, where your lotus feet are there, how can there be any inauspiciousness? Everything is wonderful here. But then the other devotees told the fact to Mahaprabhu. His son has passed away. Then Mahaprabhu was shocked. Then Mahaprabhu went to the back of the house and then touched the boy, brought him back to life for a short while. The boy spoke for a few minutes and then left his body and went to the next destination. At that time, Mahaprabhu told Shivas, Shivas, you know, how I can leave such intimate devotees like you? Like that he said a word. Why he said? Because very soon he was about to take sannyas. And then he told Shivas, Shivas, you have lost one son, but you have gained 2 children. Don't worry, he said. Who are those 2 children? Gaurnetai. We too will become your children. Don't worry. So in this way, you will find Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is a topmost renunciate and Shivas Thakur is a grihastha. And you find both of them coming together and putting up a Sankirtan program, vibrant Sankirtan program to keep Krishna at the center. You can see that. So Shivas Thakur actually, he was not a earning grihastha doing any job or something, but he was a brahmana who got charity, he was maintaining. But if somebody is drawing money, earning, there was one devotee, Ghosh, I think one of the Ghosh brothers, used to give a lot of charity to Mahaprabhu's services. And Mahaprabhu had to tell one of the devotees that, you know, you have to keep a track of his account because he gives too liberally charity. Sometimes you have to chase after people for charity. But Mahaprabhu said he is giving too much charity. Make sure his account is kept so that his family will also run. He said like that. Like we heard about Paramahansa Gopalakrishna Maharaj. He used to work in a company and come and give away all the money to Prabhupada. And whatever expenditure he had, he took from Prabhupada. Therefore, he is a big sannyasi and guru in his khan now. You see, where he got so much strength to lead the whole world, like having thousands and thousands of disciples. Because he gave, by giving artha wholeheartedly, he gave his prana also subsequently. See, this is what should happen to a grihastha. You give artha so wholeheartedly, eventually you give your prana also. Like Prabhupada as a grihastha also gave a lot of charity to the sannyasis of Gaudiya Math, helping them. And they were regularly coming to meet Prabhupada in the business place. Prabhupada would give them charity. And Prabhupada's plan was, I will increase my business and give them more money. That was his plan. And then Krishna inspired him to fully dedicate his life. So he gave so much artha with wholehearted consciousness, eventually he gave his whole life itself fully. So here Prabhupada is talking about how the Kali resides in gold and money, and the money can make us complacent. The money can make us become stuck up. Sometimes a person thinks, in my life if I can buy one 2 BHK house, you know, by taking a loan, I'll be a great success. But such a person earns so much money by going abroad and here and there, he gets 3-4 houses sometimes in the same city. There are people like that. But when you have 3-4 houses, you don't get a desire to, you know, do some big charity for Krishna. There are some people who are extremely conjuice for charity, but when it comes to expanding their estate and property, they go on expanding. Initially they say, if I can maintain 25 lakhs or 50 lakhs, it's good enough. But after they earn 3 crores also, they are not satisfied, you see. Therefore it is said that internally one should be inspired to give charity. There is unlimited glory in the Bhagavatam said about those who give charity liberally, how they benefit, like the fruit vendor lady giving charity to Krishna of the fruits without expecting anything, you see. So like that we have to study from the Shastra and take inspiration. And our Acharya Prabhupada openly tells us 50% in many parts of purports. He says that. If one cannot give 50%, whatever percent they can give, one should start from that. And gradually, and the reason is money will hurt us if we don't engage it in Krishna service. Because Lakshmi has two parts. One is Lakshmi engaged in Lord service, and the other Lakshmi which we use for our own purposes. That second part of the Lakshmi is called Chanchala, who creates mental disturbance. Just as for the brahmacharis, the senses create disturbance, for the grihastha, the money creates disturbance. So whatever is potential mental disturbance, that should be engaged in Lord service. So brahmachari should engage senses in Lord service, rishikena, rishikesha sevanam. So grihastha should engage money in Lord service. And once you engage money in Lord service, you will get abundant time to do Krishna consciousness. Because Krishna himself is time. He says, time I am. He will give time. And those grihasthas you find, they are in the mood of settling their material life. But in terms of accumulating money, in terms of setting right material life, they will never get time. You will see that they will say, after this one thing gets over, now I will come. After that one thing gets over, I will come. This one last thing. And that's like Parampuja Rana Swami says, Kailash was always on snooze mode, he says. Snooze mode means, you keep pressing it. 5 minutes, 5 minutes, 5 minutes. You will never renounce. But one good thing about giving a good amount of money to Krishna services, because when you are given a good amount of money, Krishna says, now you are also a shareholder in my movement. Come. Then you also join my service. Like that. So, it's not a question of you have less money or more money. It's a question of our heart. So, that was 42. Yeah, read that, 45.
Maharaj Parikshit, the son of Abhimanyu, is
no, one more thing you can read. In text number 44, in the middle, he allotted some place for Kali.
He allotted some place for Kali. But in fact, Kali could not find such places in the world at all, because Maharaj Parikshit was strictly vigilant to see that there was no places for gambling, drinking, prostitution and animal slaughter. Modern administrators want to banish corruption from the state, but fools as they are, they do not know how to do it. They want to issue licenses for gambling houses, wine, other intoxicating drug houses, brothels, hostel prostitution and
hotel prostitution
and cinema and falsity in every dealing, even in their own, and they want at the same time to dry out corruption from the state.
Prabhupada saying how foolish they are. You know, they are allowing all this nonsense into the country, and still they hope and expect that corruption will go away.
They want the kingdom of God without God consciousness. How can it be possible to adjust two contrary matters? If we want to drive out corruption from the state, we must first all organize society to accept the principles of religion, namely austerity, cleanliness, mercy and truthfulness, and to make the condition favorable, we must close all places of gambling, drinking, prostitution and falsity.
Yeah, like that. Yeah. Next one, next translation.
Maharaj Parikshit, the son of Abhimanyu, is so experienced that by dint of his expert administration and patronage, it has been possible for you to perform a sacrifice such as this.
Who is saying this to whom? See, Maharaj Parikshit, the son of Abhimanyu, is so experienced that by a dint of his expert administration and patronage, it has been possible for you to perform a sacrifice such as this.
This is Sudha Goswami speaking.
And then the previous verse is, the most fortunate Emperor Parikshit was entrusted with the kingdom of Hastinapur.
Sutta.
38. You see who? Sutta Vacha. Okay. Read the last one. Yeah.
Maharaj Parikshit. I read purport, please.
Yeah, purport.
The Brahmanas and Sannyasis are expert in the spiritual advancement of society, whereas the Kshatriyas or the administrators are expert in material peace and prosperity of human society. Both of them are the pillars of the happiness, of all happiness.
Because one is focused on spiritual and one is focused on material. Both are necessary. Like earlier we said, Bhavayacha, Kshemayacha, Mangalayacha, we said, no, like that, yeah.
And therefore, they are all meant for full cooperation for common welfare. Maharaj Parikshit was experienced enough to drive away Kali from his field of activities and thereby make the state receptive to spiritual enlightenment. If the common people are not receptive, it is very difficult to impress upon them the necessity of the spiritual enlightenment. Austerity, cleanliness, mercy and truthfulness, the basic principles of religion, prepare the ground for the reception of advancement in spiritual knowledge.
See, this is another interesting thing. Prabhupada is releasing a topmost secret. He is telling, if the common people are not interested in God, in spirituality, such kind of subjects, they are very dull-headed, uninterested, then it will be very difficult to direct them to the right goal of life, correct, no? Then they will get completely submerged in waves of samsara and suffer like hell, correct, no? So how to bring them from an uninterested state in spirituality to an interested state of spirituality, the secret Prabhupada reveals. That these four principles, if they follow, austerity, cleanliness, mercy and truthfulness, that will create a ground in their life which will increase the receptivity of spiritual knowledge. So even all of us also, you know, right now you are all sitting here and hearing hours and hours of Bhagavatam last several days. This ability to sit and hear, or we can call it as a hearing stamina. The hearing stamina increases by following these four regulative principles. Namely, austerity, cleanliness, mercy and truthfulness. Therefore, these four should be administered to people, like the Prabhupada is saying. Yes?
Thus, the rishis of Naimisharanya were able to perform the sacrifices for 1,000 years. In other words, without state support, no doctrines of philosophy or religious principles can progressively advance.
Yeah. You see, we need state support. You know Ashoka? One king, Ashoka. So he, actually, Buddha, once, Buddha and some of his disciples, they went to that Kalinga war. In that Kalinga war, there was one soldier about to die. And one of the Buddha's followers went with a vessel of water and he fed him water to a dying soldier and he saved. And the soldier was brought back to life. And Ashoka was standing on a chariot at the distance and he watched it. How this fellow showed compassion. And Ashoka looked around, how in the war so many people have died. I am the cause of this ghastly battle. You know, millions of soldiers have been killed. So he cried out that time. So seeing this saintly person with a cheerful face, with no, you know, fear in the middle of the battle, he went and fed some water and brought that fellow back to life. So this was very deeply inspiring to Ashoka. And he found out who he was, and he is Buddha's disciple. Then he called for Buddha. Then Buddha gave sermon on Ahimsa, Paramo Dharma and everything. So he preached to Ashoka. And Ashoka became a completely non-violent king. It is not that a king should become non-violent. A king has to be chivalrous and he has to subdue atrocities. That is his duty. But a king should not fight a yuddha just for the sake of expanding kingdom. That is not permissible. For protecting dharma, he can rule. He can do that. So then Ashoka was so inspired by Buddha's teachings and his serenity, peace and smile, such kind of divinity. So he was the king of whole of India. He told whole India became Buddhist at that time. So you will see Ashoka's rule. If you see the map, full India map, Ashoka's rule you will find. So that is what Prabhupada is saying here. In other words, without state support, no philosophy or religious principle can progressively advance, he is telling. For example, if a college principal is Hare Krishna devotee, is it helpful or not? Preach in that college. Correct, no? It's very helpful. Imagine owner is a Hare Krishna devotee. He tells you, in our campus we want one Radha Krishna temple. Please make it. Along with the temple, we'll make one yoga hall also there. So he says, and then you fellows come and preach. Who can stop him? Tell me. Nobody can stop him. So that is why Prabhupada says that we need support of the state. If from the top level, top down, we have support, we can do wonderful. We can expand the movement very fast. Nowadays, our devotees go to schools for Gita contest, you know. If the teacher principal is a very favorable principal, we get a chance to go class to class and thousands of Gitas are distributed. Sometimes the principal, in the name of secularism, is afraid, they don't allow you. There is no distribution. So one top man support you get, that's what Prabhupada is saying. Go ahead.
There should be complete cooperation between the Brahmanas and the Kshatriyas for this common good. Even up to Maharaj Ashok.
No, he's quoting. Ashok is quoting here. Yeah.
The same spirit was prevailing. Lord Buddha was sufficiently supported by King Ashok. And this, his particular cult of knowledge was spread all over the world.
Yeah. So the main talk here is about spiritualists and administrators, cooperation. So you will find when Kardama Muni was doing penance in the forest, no? That time he comes, Swayambhu Manu comes. Swayambhu Manu is an administrator and Kardama Muni is a Brahmana. Correct, no? He is a Brahmana sage. So that conversation is very amazing if you read in the Bhagavatam. You know, when Swayambhu Manu arrived there, seeing this Brahmana Kardama Muni, he offered obeisances. So Kardama Muni also offered obeisances back to him. So there purpose writes in purport, why should such an exalted Brahmana offer obeisances to your administrator? Because he saw Kardama Muni as a representative of God, Naradev. So he also offered obeisances. And then he is telling him, Swayambhu Manu is praising Kardama Muni. Oh great sage, in your body resides all the, you are like a storehouse of austerities and penances and divine realizations. You are an embodiment of Vedas. You always practice and propagate Vedic Dharma. And you are very intimately connected to the Supreme Lord. And you are completely selfless. You are free from all desires, material desires in this world. Your heart is fixed on the lotus feet of Lord Vasudeva. So you are, so many glorification is giving. Then Kardama Muni is telling him, my dear king, if Kshatriyas like you don't board a chariot and travel around and around, round and round the globe and keep the rogues and thieves under control, and if kings like you don't collect the taxes from the people and give welfare to them back like a son, if you don't do things like that, then how will this world be maintained? So he is telling the importance of the administrators. So Swayambhu Manu then says, I am deeply encouraged by your words. Right now I was thinking of renouncing everything and going to forest. But after hearing you, I am feeling very encouraged. Now I will go back and continue my duty. I will do that, he says. So therefore, the managers require encouragement from the other devotees of the temple also. Like in our temple, we have Com, we have BPB, we have two managers in the ashram. Similarly, we have CMC. CMC is Congregation Management Committee. So sometimes these people, they sit 4 hours, 5 hours, 6 hours meetings to sort out so many issues like that. So sometimes manager's job is called as a thankless task. Like even after doing a lot of management, there will be people to criticize them. And Prabhupada says even Brahma, the topmost manager, was criticized by the best of the devotees, gopis. Gopis criticized him that, you know, okay, you created a beautiful body for us, but why did you create the eyelids which are blocking our vision of Krishna? So Prabhupada says, no manager should get discouraged by any criticism, because the best of the devotees are criticizing the first manager of the universe, as Prabhupada writes. Isn't it? So if you are a manager, if you get appreciation, be grateful. If you get criticism, you hear it with one ear and leave it in another ear. Unless there is some valuable lesson to be learned. Correct, no? So in this way, the understanding of, see what will happen generally, I'll tell you, those who are preachers only, I don't want to name anybody, preachers will say, this management is Maya. You see, we are preachers, like following in footsteps of Narada Muni, we fly from one place to another and we deliver knowledge to people. We are always doing bhajan, chanting and hearing and chanting. This is the goal of life. And we depend on the Lord. We don't depend on management of anything. We simply depend on the Lord. And our process is Shravan and Kirtan, that's all. You know, why should we manage? Everything will be managed by the Lord only. Lord is the supreme manager of everyone. Nothing moves without sanction of the Lord. These kind of talks they will do. And oftentimes they will say, the managers, if somebody is a manager, means he is like a demigod. Demigod means they have a desire to enjoy the world also, and they want to do some service also. Only for, just like in a jail, some of the senior thieves are made as managers of the jail. You know? Similar, yeah, because police people think, you know, why should we waste our time? You make some of the senior thieves into managers. They are many years experienced. Similarly, demigods are like that. Demigods are also bound, we are also bound. So demigods are made the managers of the universe. So, but the Bhajanandi preachers, they will say that, but we don't care about any management. We are simply under Krishna's shelter. They will speak like this. And they may criticize some of the management policies made for the class. Class has to end by this time. Class has to end by that time. Or somebody comes and says, आप ये लोग प्रसाद भागवतम क्लास के पहले खाते हैं, बाद में खाना चाहिए, क्लास के पहले क्यों देते हैं प्रसाद? तो मैनेजर्स नो द प्रैक्टिकल प्रॉब्लम्स, वाई द प्रसाद मीज बिफोर, बिकॉज सम स्पीकर्स गो अप टू 10 o'clock और 10:30, 11. सो द प्रीचर्स क्रिटिसाइज मैनेजर्स एंड मैनेजर्स क्रिटिसाइज प्रीचर्स. वॉट मैनेजर्स विल से, ये प्रीचर एक पूरा अवधूत है, कुछ है. इनको ये दुनिया का प्रैक्टिकल चीज़ मालूम नहीं है. His head is in the clouds, you know. And we people, we have head in the clouds, leg in the ground. We are very realistic people, practical people, and we know the ground. And we are actually, you know, putting everything schedules, what is to be done, who will do it, and by when, the deadlines and everything. And we are practically running this Prabhupada's temple, we are managing it, administrating it, we are celebrating festivals, and we are managing people, managing money, managing assets. We are doing all these things. इतना बड़े जिम्मेदार काम हम लोग कर रहे हैं. और ये अवधूत लोग कभी भी आते हैं, कभी भी जाते हैं, फिर इनको भजन करने का बस, भजनानंदी हैं. इनको क्या मालूम है? What do these people know? So both have their ego. You understand? Managers have managerial ego and preachers have preaching ego. Both have their ego and they both belittle one another. You understand, huh? You know, be little one another. When you are a manager, you will criticize preachers. When you become preacher, you criticize managers. You understand, huh? Like in voices, we have CT, correct, no? CT is caretaker. What does he do? Only preaching. He doesn't manage anything. But a project leader, he manages. Project manager, he manages. So the CTs, counselors, they come from the side. And authorities come from the top, you know. So they can criticize one another. If they want. But we should not do that. That's what the purport is saying here. Because if we criticize one another, what will happen? The people who on the receiving end will suffer. Correct, no? People will think, are ye aakar uska gali deta hai, wo aakar iska gali deta hai. They will think like that. These managers are criticizing. So this is called as a neophyte community. Where the preachers and managers criticize one another. You see? Or the counselors and managers. Like that. So sometimes the manager thinks service is all important. He catches one fellow and puts him in the service. He doesn't see his other things. Then counselor is like a mother and father for the person. And the devotee thinks my counselor is like parents and the manager is like a exploitative fellow. And they think like that. So counselor and manager should work together. Correct, no? Because if a counselee sees that this administrator or manager and my counselor are together, then they will respect both. Correct, no? So how many of you feel what I'm speaking is relevant? Relevant, no? Yeah, correct. Otherwise, I should not go on talking without connecting with you. So...